Hi, everybody. This is Phil the Issues Guy from issuesprogram.com and Phil the Issues Guy on YouTube. Do you like television? Do you like talking about television? Do you have problems and can't sleep at night? If you any of those things are true, come on down and join Phil the Issues Guy on YouTube. Phil's recap and review, or check out issuesprogram.com to check out our stuff. Basically, what we do is we talk a lot about television, some movies, but mainly television. We do post-episode recaps, live viewings, drunk commentary games, and just general analysis. So if you love television, you don't have a ton of people to talk about television, or you just cannot get enough of some of these awesome shows like Vikings, Better Call Saul, Westworld, Game of Thrones, even The Walking Dead, and some other random shows that just pop up here and there, if you cannot get enough of all those programs and you want to talk about them, jump on over, join in the live motherfucking chat with some of the best people in the world that all share their thoughts real time whenever we go live. So if you subscribe to the YouTube channel, you follow the YouTube channel by clicking that little bell thing, you can find out anytime we go live. You can also check out issuesprogram.com for a backload of all of our stuff and check out our podcast on Stitcher, iTunes, and lots of other places. Huge thanks to all of you, and hope you check it out and hope you enjoy it. And I'll talk to you guys next time.
Konnichiwa, my bastards and wenches, and welcome to No Borders, No Races 2017 Wiki's pre-show party mix. I am your King Baby Duck, Evan Borgo, and with me, as always, well, not as always, but it feels like it's almost as always, our good friends from Wicked Anime, the stupid awesome analyst John Starr, and the hard man with harder opinions, Andrew.
Hello.
Hi.
Yes. So, Wikis, it is that time of year again, and this is like one of those shows that I look forward to most when recording with Wicked Anime, because it lets us talk about our absolute favorite moments in the industry, and maybe a couple not-so-favorite moments. So, this year's Wikis, we did already record them, but we're not going to reveal anything about the show, but I do want to say that there were some picks that people are going to be surprised about.
Yeah, probably. Things that just come out of nowhere. You know, like, we were like, oh yeah, we remember this show. We should definitely consider this show.
And it was really unique, because this year it was only the three of us, so we could only have three of us voting on four different shows. And sometimes we would introduce a fourth category amongst the three of us, and then we'd be like, oh my gosh, you're right. That one was the best.
Yeah. No. That did happen a couple times, and it's going to take the listeners by surprise.
Hopefully you don't hate us.
I actually think we did good this year. I think this was, like, the most hate-free show. Like, I don't think there's going to be a single, like, letter written in blood that's going to be sent to us.
Well, there's usually one anyway.
Maybe, but you guys just have to remember that even if we don't pick your favorite show for the Wikis, that doesn't mean it can't be your favorite show still.
Right. Remember, all anime is trash, and so are we.
That's right.
Yes.
Yeah. None of the shows that we picked are actually the best, because nothing is actually good.
We're just playing. A lot of stuff was really good. 2017 was an excellent year for anime.
Yes, it was.
And we're going to be showcasing that this episode of No Borders No Race with some of our favorite opening and ending themes of 2017. A lot of these songs I had to, like, hold back from actually playing on my regular show as much as I really wanted to play them. But I was like, no, you have to have this as part of the pre-show. It has to be part of the legit episode. You have to have it with the best theme songs and the like. Before we begin, normally this is where I would say, like, if you like what you hear and want to support these artists, this time, if you like these songs and if you are interested in the anime, you can watch this stuff on Crunchyroll, VRV, Funimation Now, Anime Strike, High Dive, any legal website, please, that we're allowed to send.
And listen to the songs on loop over and over again.
Every single episode. Save for maybe the finale, in which case you don't hear the end theme, but you do hear the longer version of the opening theme towards the end. So with the first song, and this was like when this song was first released, I was so excited, but at the same time I was like, I need to hold this song because it is one of our absolute favorite songs of 2017, and that is the opening theme to Miss Kobayashi's Dragon Maid.
Yeah, this song was special. Like, when you heard this opening, when they first introduced it in the first episode of Miss Kobayashi's Dragon Maid, you're just kind of like, oh.
Uh-oh.
Yeah, you hear it and you say, yeah, choo-choo, yeah.
Choo-choo, yeah. And man, what a good show that was. Just, you know, it started off as a little love, like this silly little concept of a dragon who's now a maid living with Miss Kobayashi. And the dragon's in love with Miss Kobayashi, and Miss Kobayashi's like, eh. But then it turns into a whole, like, finding a family you never expected kind of series. And it was heartwarming, and it was funny, and it was drawn beautifully.
Mm. And it's just a downright good show. I mean, it's been one that's stuck with us throughout this entire year. We haven't stopped talking about it since it premiered.
Yeah. I think I watched it 4 times. I watched it. Wow. I rarely ever go back to watch an anime until it comes out on Blu-ray and buy it, and then I rewatch it again and watch it as many times as I want there. But this was a show that I found myself restreaming over and over again, both the Japanese and the English dub, because I thought they did a great job with the English dub for this one.
Mm.
For our listeners, here is the very first song from Miss Kobayashi's Dragon Maid. This is Fana with Azora no Rhapsody.
Yeah.
Sama with Wonder Drive, which served as the opening theme to Alice and Zoroku, featuring one of the most adorable little kids you'll ever see in anime this year, little Sana.
Yes, and also one of the greatest Oji-sans ever.
Yes, I don't like crooked stuff.
Yeah, Zoroku was a great character. Alice was a wonderfully written character, very real, very authentic. Like, even though it was a kid with magical powers, it was still a little kid at heart.
Mm-hmm. So, and I believe, like, you started, like comparing it to Elfin Lied in some places.
A little bit. It had a very dark Elfin Lied type feel in the very beginning. But it was a significantly happier anime.
Yes.
But you couldn't help to know that there were those moments that still just made you really sad.
During the first half, the second half, it did go more of that Alice in Wonderland route, hence why there is the Alice in the title.
Mm-hmm.
It's a show I definitely recommend people check out. Again, and I this show also had a very good dub as well. I highly recommend people check out both versions. Make your own opinion for it. I know we've got those people out there that are sub-only or dub-only, but this one had both very good subs and dubs.
And the other thing about this show, too, is that the manga is available, and I find the art for this manga very intriguing, very different, very charming. The drawings that are in it are just so whimsical and wonderful, and that's like the best part about manga, is that you can always just like freeze a moment in time and you can study a piece of art.
Well, I found that the art for this show was always very unique anyway.
Yeah.
And that was one of the charming things about it, was how special the art was, because it didn't just look like every other anime on the face of the planet. It had this really charming, cute art style that was pleasant to look at. And on the note of manga, that's kind of like my outlook on it, where anime kind of passes you by, but if you buy a manga volume, you can kind of hold on to it forever. And, you know, for someone like me who references art all the time, being able to look back at art and manga is just perfect. So special art like that is rare.
I'd also like to note that the 3D used in the fights in this show, whenever they're using their magical powers and there's 3D going on,
was bad.
But it wasn't as bad
as something like Handshakers, which was a complete total disaster at the beginning of the year.
Well, Japan's getting better with the 3D. I mean, they're not just using it for the... actually, I should probably not mention that. But yes, Allison Zoroku was a very wonderful show. I highly recommend people check it out. Hopefully it'll be out in Blu-ray very soon, because with them doing the simuldubs, it's making it a lot easier and quicker for them to actually be releasing it on Blu-ray.
Very cool.
So coming up next is the ending, the very first ending to a show that... It's a reboot of a classic series from the 1990s, and it's a show that, after watching this reboot, I wonder why it didn't come to America in the first place. And that was Magical Circle Guru Guru.
Are you talking about the original show?
Yes, the original show in the 90s. Because I actually went back and watched a couple of clips from the original show, and it's just as funny. Like, I could picture this being, like, a hit with little kids. If they had aired it back-to-back with something like Pokemon back in the 90s, it could have had as big a following.
Yeah, kids would like that magical stuff.
And fart jokes.
Well, then again, at the time we also had like four kids dubs versions of things like Shaman King and Cardcaptor Sakura.
No, and Pokemon.
Well, and Pokemon. But King already mentioned that because he was saying that it would run alongside Pokemon.
I sure love jelly donuts.
Let me take this frying pan and make it into a drying pan. Boo! But Magical Circle Guru Guru was one of those shows which was so funny, so chock-filled with humor that I found myself watching each episode twice because I would miss a joke the first time around because I was laughing about the previous one.
They came so fast in that show, like just one right after the other. Mm-hmm. They never stopped, and they were all kind of they were very immature jokes at times, but you know, the ones that are so tongue-in-cheek and brilliantly planned that you can't help but laugh at them. It was just like, you know, it got so silly to the point where you're like, all right, I'm on board with this. And you just laugh.
Yeah. And I love the duo of, like, Nikkei, who was the hero, and you had Kukure, who was kind of like the helper, and just how adorable they are together. And I think what made me fall in love with the show was just after their first boss fight, and instead of celebrating their victory, they're, like, crying, like, that was so scary, I thought we were going to die!
Yeah, true adventure stuff.
True adventure stuff. If you want to watch Magical Circle Guru Guru, it's on Crunchyroll and VRV. It's a great comedy. I highly recommend people check it out. One of my favorite recent reboots of the last few years. Because there have been a couple good ones. There are a couple that are coming up in 2018 that I'm very excited about. Cardcaptor Sakura being one of them.
Mm-hmm.
But this was a very fun show. And what I love most about it is that it kept the animation style of a 90s show.
Yes.
It wasn't rebooted. Oh, we're going to make it nitty gritty. No, it looked like something you would see in the 90s.
Yeah, that's true. It had that really familiar art style to it that was just reminiscent of the 90s itself. And it looked authentic.
Yeah.
Maybe the lines were a little cleaner. But
Right. Lines are cleaner, but it felt like these characters were from the 90s.
Yeah.
So take a cue from that Sailor Moon Crystal, okay?
Yeah.
So here is the first end theme to Magical Circle Guru Guru, accompanied by Bonjour Suzuki. This is Techno Boys Pull Graph Green Fun with Round and Round and Round.
I'm not the only one. 金目たそうな目こすってそっぽ向いた前髪におはよう眩しい朝いい天気きっとねどんなにたくさん悩んだところで今日は来ちゃう待ってくれない片付ける前に Oh I to be 潤んだ目に映る夕焼けなんだかちょっと照れくさいかもね金曜の午後が寂しくなったり強がりを見透かされたりつま先へ
No Name with Morning Glory, which served as the first opening theme to the show Sakura Quest, a series about a girl who got picked to be the queen of a village and revitalizing said village because they don't get tourists anymore. Because people don't like chupacabras, apparently.
Or the country.
Or the countryside, yes. And, you know, it was one of those shows where I'm not going to say it was, like, the best show to watch, but it was one of those series that was just consistently good from start to finish.
Yeah. And it was done by the same studio that did Shirobako. I love the art in this show, and I love the idea of the show too, you know, like the just how do we get this town back on the map? A dedicated group of town folk trying to make their town awesome again, and they use it through horror theme stuff, which is just like, hey, we got urban legends here, why don't you come and see us? Kind of like a Mystery Shack sort of thing from Gravity Falls.
But, yeah, that's a good analogy there.
But it's just like, It was so much fun to watch and see what they try to do. And then, you know, just the antics of old people.
Man, I don't want to do this. I'm happy with the way the town is. Man.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No trying new things.
No so
we have to try to get a squad of sexy anime girls together to try to put this town back on the map.
And you know, this was like sort of like the start of the trend of seeing actual like adults in anime. Because, you know, we watch a lot of anime that features, you know, high school kids and middle school kids, and you kind of feel weird relating to these kids. And this was a show that really did a great job, not just with showcasing the trials and tribulations of adulthood, but how hard it is to find like a job or your passion in this world of ours.
It is true. I would like to start seeing more and more anime with older or older characters, not high schoolers. Yeah. High schoolers are annoying.
So, Sakura Quest. I never watched the dub for it. There are some people that I know are good actresses that are playing these characters, but I haven't watched the dub. But I do recommend for people that are trying to like find their place in the world, watch Sakura Quest, because sometimes that place is somewhere you'd least expect it, like the countryside.
You don't see many anime start there anymore either. You know, there's not very many anime that start in the countryside either, unless it's like a Ghibli film.
Mm-hmm.
So it's just not a setting that you typically see. Or it's something like Your Name, where somebody lives in the country and is like, I don't want to live here. So,
or it's like Non Non Biori, where a girl actually does move from the city to the country, and it's her experiences there.
Right. So it's usually that, like, but that's a rarity. You know, Non Non Biori was probably the next one that I could think of, and then maybe Degashi Kashi, mm-hmm. where they were in the countryside there. But that one had a specific purpose for mm-hmm. being in the country, because it's like, well, the city doesn't sell Degashi anymore. Yeah, only the country would.
Yeah, nobody has Degashi.
So, like, there's these specific purposes for using a countryside, setting. And if you don't do it right, then it's going to be a boring show because people want modern stuff. You know what I mean? So
that's why you gotta have, like, really good characters who develop and evolve as the show progresses.
Yeah.
And good writing, too.
Good writing, of course.
Yes. But Sakura Quest was a pretty good show. Like I said, not the best, but it was consistently good from start to finish.
That's a pretty good show.
Pretty good show.
It's pretty good.
It's a pretty good show. Now let's talk about the show that I'm scared to call pretty good, but let's call it trash. Good trash. Let's talk Ero Manga Sensei for a moment.
And that was Ero Manga Sensei.
Yes, it's good trash.
I don't know. I don't know if it was good trash. The only thing that I can say about it is we watched the whole thing.
Yes.
I agree. And it was one of those shows where I was like, oh, new Ero Manga Sensei came out today, and I watched it immediately.
Yeah.
You know, and
but it's like eating an entire box of a dozen Dunkin' Donuts.
Or eating one of those, like, giant pixie sticks. Just like, this is gonna be good. 10 minutes later, this is a nightmare.
But I feel like to some degree, it was more enjoyable than some other shows that came out in the trash category this season.
Pretty
because much. Because for some reason, there was something about this show that I kept watching it. Whereas other trash animes that came out, I did not. So, like, what was special about Ero Manga Sensei? I don't know.
I really honestly couldn't tell you, because at the end of the day, it was
naked middle schoolers.
It was middle school students doing very inappropriate things.
Yeah.
Yes.
And that is awful.
Well, especially the whole reveal. Like, just randomly, like, episodes 10 or something like that, they're just like, man, you're pretty good for a middle school student. And that was when everybody figured out these are middle school students. Like, what is happening? They're writing erotic novels and they're middle school students. Like, this, it was just...
Oh, and also trying to willingly rip each other's clothes off.
It was...
Yeah.
It was like a...
And then the Megumi character, oh, I like dicks. I was like, whoa.
Yeah, let's and
be careful there.
She was using terms that usually get censored in hentai. Like,
Something about this. I mean, especially coming off of Ori Emo and going right.
I feel that was why we were kind of watching. It was like, is it going to turn into another Ori Emo? Is the brother going to want to get together with the sister?
This one wasn't really hiding anything, though. It just kind of right from the get-go was just like, nope, this is what we are. Here we go. Let's do it.
Yeah, but then, like, there were other things, like, how far are they going to push this? And then at the end of the series, you say, oh, I guess Bikini Twister
with middle school students is how far they're going to push this.
And it's Sagiri making a doujin hentai of the light novel he just wrote.
Yeah, I don't know. Yeah, which is about them.
Yeah. Oh, A1 Pictures. You sometimes do great things, but then you're like...
A1 Pictures does some of the best things.
They do some of the best, and they're like, oh, let's draw Sagiri's feet here. Anyway, before we go down a much darker path, let's play the opening theme, which has a lot of good ska-rific moments in it.
Woo.
This is Clarice with Hitori Goto. Hitori Goto da yo, hatsukashi koto kikanai de yo ne, kimi no koto da yo, demo sono saki wa iwanai.
Go!
それでいいんじゃないかって思ったら、自分自身否定しているのと同じことばって都合よく並んでしまうけど、それじゃきっと意味すらないフィクション。
Ashita no Kimi Sai Irebe by Cho Cho, which was the opening theme to A Sister's All You Need. And for me, unlike Aramanga Sensei, which was playing the whole little sister thing, like trying to make it seem okay, A Sister's All You Need was that show that like shook you to the core and was like, you like this? What the hell's wrong with you?
30 seconds of the most awkward opening anime sequence ever.
Right, and I initially had actually turned it off while watching that moment. But Johnstar was like, no, keep on going.
Yeah. And I didn't get very far after that, to be fair.
Yeah, this was, for me, like I mentioned before, this is one of the trash shows that I was talking about that I did not finish.
Oh, really? Okay.
Like, I finished Eromanga Sensei and enjoyed Eromanga Sensei over this one.
Yeah. But I can't deny that there was something about the times where they would just sit and talk with each other about writer stuff. Mm-hmm. It was fascinating, very intriguing.
Mm-hmm. That was one of the upsides of the show, was the actual talk about writing stuff.
Yeah, and I actually liked it too when they would goof off and just play board games or card games, because it was like, hey, that actually looks kind of fun. Oh wait, those are actually real? I'm going to Amazon right now to buy those.
Yeah, there was something really interesting about just being able to create interesting characters by having them sit in one scene for 20 minutes. You know, they literally didn't move from an apartment, and they would just talk about writing or play board games or
trying to rape each other.
Yep, that too.
That as well. But you know, I like The Sisters All You Need. I kind of ended disappointingly because it ended like much in a cliffhanger, and I don't know if it's going to come back for a second season. But I will say that there were elements of The Sisters All You Need that I did like, over Aeromanga Sensei, first and foremost, the fact that it's all adults and not middle schoolers doing this sort of stuff.
That's debatable.
Debatable?
Yeah, that's debatable. Because the characters are never actually... I mean, I think they're college students, was it?
Like, they're between the ages of 18 to 21.
They were of age.
I don't want to get into spoilers, but I actually don't really care because I just didn't really think this series would lend itself to too many spoilers. I'm just gonna take a wild guess. Was the cliffhanger at the end of the season the brother finding out that his other brother was actually a sister?
Nope. He hasn't found out that yet.
What, are you serious? Oh wow, that's pathetic. Especially because they told us in like episode 3. Like,
yeah.
Hold on. Wait a minute. Okay, so I didn't get that far in the series at all.
Yeah, so the very effeminate younger brother of the writer
is really a sister.
Yes.
Yes.
And he doesn't know this?
And he doesn't know that.
Yeah. How?
He's probably semi-retarded.
Wait, but they're related by blood.
No, they're not.
Oh. Wait,
but he's the older brother. Yeah.
So the thing is that when his father remarried, even before he met the half-brother, or literally, technically, really half-sister, he moved out. He never stayed to see his stepmother or anything like that, because he was so pissed off at his father.
Yeah, moved out and checked out, apparently.
Yeah, that's strange.
I don't
get it. That's whatever.
Yeah. Hold on. Does that mean that even Japanese people can't tell the difference between each other? Is that what we're saying here?
I don't want to go that far.
I'm sorry. Edit that out if you need to.
No, I'll keep it in there. All right, but let's change it to something that I know that Andrew and probably all of us were excited about. Let's talk about Little Witch Academia.
Oh man, Studio Trigger.
Yeah.
For Trigger next season. It's so exciting.
I've been a fanboy of not just Studio Trigger, but Little Witch Academia to be more specific, because it is just a visually stunning, fantastic, fun adventure show.
And imaginative as hell. Like, I would actually put it up there with like J.K. Rowling stuff.
Yeah, just like the whimsical magic stuff that they do in it, and the normal girl who's just a witch fangirl, you know, and just loves everything about what she's doing, and she wants to take it seriously, but all the other witches can't tell that she's trying to take it seriously because she's a normie.
And Shiny Chariot is so cute.
Shiny Chariot is the best. Oh, hello, random teacher who kind of looks like her, but isn't. Hint, hint, wink, wink.
I was a fan of Little Witch Academia since the free movies.
I went back to the movie. I went back to the original movie after watching the series, and I saw the nice similarities that they kept, but for overall, the movie was actually fairly different.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Which was really kind of interesting.
And the same with the Magical Parade, too.
Yeah.
Or the Enchanted Parade. Which one was it? The Enchanted or the Magic?
I think, yeah, Enchanted Parade.
Yeah.
But it was very interesting all around.
Yeah. But I remember watching the first thing that they released, you know, years ago on YouTube for free. And I watched
with Inferno Cop.
I watched it like 4 or 5 times before they announced the Kickstarter for the second episode. It was just like, I wanted to watch it over and over again.
You can probably find the Wicked Anime episode somewhere where you were like, guys, you have to watch Little Witch Academia.
Yeah, I forget when I said that, but I gushed over it. I still do. Can't you tell? And now it's all on Netflix.
And it was actually really funny. There's a funny story that comes along with this, too. So there's a character in Little Witch Academia called named Andrew.
Andaru.
Yeah, Andaru.
Andaru.
No, Andaru. And I, when I would introduce myself in Japan, I would say, like, my name is Andrew, like, in English. and then they would have trouble understanding me. Mm-hmm. They would say, Angel, like, your name is Angel. And then, and so I used that, and I broke it down. I said, Andariu. And they're like, oh, Andrew. Like, I was like, yes. Like, it was actually really cool. Like, so thank you, Little Witch Academia, for helping me do that.
So yes. It's Andaru?
No. It's... Yeah, no. Like, the easier way to break it down would be Andaru. But because in Japanese, the symbols that you use to say somebody's name have such important meaning to what the name means, Andaru probably doesn't mean the same thing as Andariu.
Mm-hmm.
So, yes. So that's probably why they went with that translation of it.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Have you ever actually like typed your name in like the Japanese characters and see what pops up, like what the symbols mean and the like?
I actually had a Japanese woman who I was working with on the film in Japan write my name in kanji that says Andaru, Andoru, and I think it means dragon soil and creation or something like that. She told me what it meant, and I actually wrote it down, but I don't have it on me right now.
So let's see, dragon soil creation. So it's like. It's like you're growing something, and you're a magical dragon.
Yeah, or
dragon fertilizer.
I think it was like, it was really interesting. Like, but it was so cool because she used my iPad.
She might have been insulting you. She was calling you dragon shit.
she used my iPad Pro. So because me and her were like doodling on my iPad Pro.
We're way off topic.
We were awesome.
We are way off topic. Little Witch Academia. It's a great show.
Yeah,
it's a fun story,
and
though.
It's both seasons are up, and you have to watch all of it because it's just fantastic the whole way
through. And I wouldn't be too surprised if they bring it back because Studio Trigger is like, you will be seeing these characters again. We just don't know when.
Yes.
Oh man, I hope so. Jeez. Yes.
For this, we're gonna play the end theme, the first end theme to Little Witch Academia by Yukio Uehara. This track is Hoshio wo Tadoreba.
Good job.
Thank you.
Pull out, で私のためだけ地球はぐるぐる回ります。酔っ払わしょい勉強なんてね、見てみる恋が得意です。それより海とか行きたいサマーだ、アイアイ愛して I want you、 恋してここ七感じて灼熱が踏み込んだかき氷、あっけらかん。そうとも言う天才とは紙一重、海行きたいだがしかし
日焼けは恐ろしいや。
筋肉痛純粋満帆貫いていくわ、私をしっかり信じてね。世界で一番こんなに楽しい夏の一日をありがとうね。
お疲れ様。
And that was Zenryoku Summer by Angela, the opening theme to Aho Girl, one of probably the funniest short animes of the entire season.
Yeah.
Lots of bananas.
I loved Aho Girl so much right from the get-go, mostly because of the wonderful theme song.
Yep.
Yeah.
And what was cool about the theme song was, like, each theme song was its own short.
Yeah, and it kind of gave you a little bit more insight of the characters' feelings, and it was kind of just, like, a gag. Like, you know, you had, like, a little gag going on while it was going, but I thought the first one, for the first episode, they introduced it so well, where she just kind of waltzes into the title screen, just starts eating a banana, and then stops, and then it was just funny. I don't know. I was just like, this is charming.
Yeah.
And then the show started, and I was like, oh my gosh. I watched the first episode twice, I think.
Because there's, again, like with Magic Circle Guru Guru, there are so many jokes in Aho Girl that you have to watch it more than once.
I felt so bad for the main character, though. As much as he didn't really seem to care, the blonde girl was just so scared of him, and he never did it on purpose. But, oh, man, it was so funny. I don't know. There was something so charming about it because the characters are so great.
Just his hatred for Aho Girl. Just,
yeah.
Just fueled it so much.
Well, yeah, like
I love the reaction he gave when he's in her bedroom and she's like in her underwear and she does that stupid yeah, and he's like
she wakes up. Yeah, he spits like
that's still to the, throughout the entire series one of the funniest jokes.
Well, so is the mother like just trying her hardest to convince him that marrying her is his best option, and he just calmly says, you know, humans are not allowed to marry monkeys, you know? And, like, and then
no, the best one is a worst case scenario, we will convince her to commit a crime and have him lock her up.
Well, and
I would say it actually has one of my favorite beach episodes where she's like burying the girls in the sand and she like makes this big giant dick on one of them.
Yeah. Well, I think the funny part about that was that she was helpless to stop it, and she was like, "No, what are you doing? Stop!" You know, like
buried in sand. You can't help.
Well, and that was the discipline counselor, right? Or the discipline
president. Yeah, the discipline counselor. And then the other girl's like, "Here, I'll make you boobies. Oh, I'm so happy now."
The discipline club president was probably my favorite character.
Yeah.
Because her crush on the main character was
turned her into a stalker.
Yeah, was really funny because it turned her into a stalker, but she was also really charming and cute. Yeah. Like,
we were rooting for her.
Yeah.
We should mention, too, that also made Aho Girl's mother a stalker as well, too, because, oh no, you're not fucking up my plan.
Yeah, so the comedy of the show was just brilliant, and I loved it. Yeah, everybody should watch Aho Girl.
Everybody should watch Aho Girl, and I'm hoping it gets dubbed. And I was actually really surprised it didn't get the simul dub, but you make a very good point in the wiki show that I'll have people wait and listen to, because it is an absolute fact of why this show probably didn't get the simul dub.
Yeah, it would be really hard to do that.
It would be very hard. It's very, very hard. Now let's go back to something that I know that we were all shocked that it got a second season, but we were so happy about.
Yeah.
New game, because apparently people love cute girls who make video games.
Well,
also while Andrew was in Japan, it was everywhere.
Yes,
That, and I was thrilled. I was so thrilled that I went to Japan at the perfect time when there was a bunch of shows that I really loved coming out, and New Game really was the show that kind of piqued my interest this season. You know, I was so happy that I could go and just easily purchase as much New Game stuff as I could. And for you guys as well. I brought you home all your favorite characters. I brought home my favorite character. You know, it was great. Yeah, it was a great time.
I'm actually have that little scroll of Alba, like, right there hanging right on my Fooly Cooly poster. So I'm actually staring at Alba as I'm recording this.
Nice.
Yeah, New Game was just as charming, or season two was just as charming as the first season, and like you said, we were really, really shocked that it got a second season, because everybody said, this show will not be resurfacing. Like, it got canceled after the first season, and that's it. But
like most shows do. Like most anime do.
I guess shows can get resurrected from the dead, which is very awesome.
Mm-hmm. And can I say that this season helped rise, like, the character Nenechi as one of my favorites on the show? Because she started out as, you know, a secondary character, Alba's best friend. But this was, like, the season where she just rose and became, like, a real primary player in the whole New Game franchise.
Yeah, and then they created a new best friend character that we're going to ignore. Remember they added that, like, third girl?
Yeah, and you didn't really see much of her.
Like the red haired girl?
No, no, no. There was this silver haired girl with glasses.
Yeah, the one that they used to go to college with. Yeah. Yes. What the heck was up with her? She was so pointless.
Well, because she wasn't in the first season either, so it was just weird. Right. But
she might be more in the manga, though. So I'm actually, because the manga's being released, the first volume comes out in March here in America. So I'm curious to see how far the series goes. Maybe you might be seeing that character more.
I'll be getting the manga for sure.
Me too. Absolutely. So, the opening theme to New Game. And this was one of your favorites of the season as well.
This was probably the best song I heard all season.
Yeah.
This is...
Wait, but we have to explain, though, that for anybody who hasn't seen New Game... That this is only there for half.
Oh, wait. Actually, the one we're reading here is the opening theme.
Right, right. Because we played the end theme on the show that you hosted, Andrew.
Right. Yeah. The ending theme was the best.
Yeah, you're right.
But this is the opening theme, which is like a derivative of that song.
Yes, because like Step by Step Up was like the first step, and then it's Jump In, Jump Up.
Yes. Jump In, Jump Up is my favorite from, and you can hear that back on my pre-Japan show. But this one, however, this is Step by Step Up by Four Folium, the opening theme to New Game Season 2.
Step by step, 準備運動。手をまっすぐ上に上げて左右に振ります。いきますよ。まず右から3、はい、プラプラプラプラプラプラプラ、左プラプラプラプラプラプラプラ、右プラプラプラプラプラプラプラ、左プラプラプラプラプラプラ、でやっていこう。それじゃまずはこうしてハムスターのポーズ、
song is just so adorable and catchy as hell. That was Himoto S with Umaru Taiso, the end theme to Himoto Umaru-chan R, which was another show that people were shocked was brought back.
I'm actually not shocked that it was brought back. I guess we can easily say that we can never be sure if a Dogakoba show will ever get a second season because yes. It's Dogakoba. They make some of our favorite cute shows, but we can never tell if they're ever popular enough to get a second season.
Right. But we got two of them last year. We had New Game, and then we had the return of Umaru-chan R.
When I was in Japan, I can easily say that Umaru-chan's popularity is just huge. So having it come back as a sequel season just didn't really surprise me, because even though I started off being like, I don't like Umaru-chan, it's kind of annoying, in going back and rewatching it and being like, oh, this is really funny. Oh, yeah. My gosh. Like,
I told you.
I know. But,
because this is the thing. I feel like Japan does a really great job at writing such deep, lazy characters. Like, you see that with the Umaru-chan. And what was so great about this second season, and this took a lot of people by surprise, is there was so much character evolution, not just with Umaru,
but with everybody. With the brother, with the friends, with even the brothers of the friends.
Yes, as cute as I think the relationship that, like, Ebina has a crush on the older brother, on Taihei.
Yes.
I really, 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 really love the crush that their boss, Haruka, has on Taihei.
Uh-huh.
That is actually my favorite, because she just has no idea what she's doing. Like, but she loves him so much, you know? So, and then they also added an interesting character to the second season, which was the little sister of Haruka.
And at first, I couldn't understand why they added her, but then as the series progressed, it's like, oh, Taihei played an instrumental role for this girl. This is why she's now looking at him as a bigger brother.
And I think that's why we can expect a season three, is because there's just so much more to explain. But they explained it confidently. Like, as they were making these episodes, the way they were written and the way it ended was confidently done, like, you'll just have to see what happens in season three, you know? Yeah,
absolutely. And hopefully, well, what's going to be great, too, is just like New Game, Umaru-chan got licensed the manga here in America, so you can be able to read what's going to be happening there. So even if there isn't a third season, we'll at least have that to go by and see what happens next.
Yeah.
And I'm very happy that you actually watched this, Andrew, because it has been one of my favorite comedies of the last couple of years.
It is a charming comedy. It is very good.
Mm-hmm. For a lazy little hamster girl.
She's not lazy because she's lazy. She's lazy because she wants to be lazy. and that's what I'm saying. Because especially with all her different personas, like Umar, like Himoto isn't just her only persona.
Right.
Like, you know, you have
UMR.
And then you have UMR. Like, UMR is funny because UMR is not lazy. She's like, she likes going to the arcade. And it just bugs me. I think the only thing that bugs me about about Umaru-chan is that her persona, like, none of her friends can figure out her personas, and they just can't tell. Like, it's just so weird.
See the comment that you had about Sisters All You Need for that one. Alright, so next song on the list is from a show that I couldn't stop talking about it, not because it was a really good written show, although I did like the story of it, but because of how amazing the music was, and that was Anonymous Noise.
I thought Anonymous Noise was good.
Anonymous Noise was great.
It was a great show, but it did suffer from some of that usual shoujo tropes that you see in those type
series. But it was a shoujo.
I think that the thing that I benefited from is I don't watch shoujo, so the fact that I watched this one and I don't know all the tropes of shoujo.
Yeah.
It made it better for me, so, like, I wasn't caught up on the tropes.
Well, and not being a guy who likes shoujo animes, this anime was phenomenal. And
especially the music.
Yeah, the music was great, but it was also a romance, and as shoujos usually are. And I think shoujos being shoujo, so they're geared towards women, the fact that I was still rooting for the romance aspect of the show kind of made it interesting, because, you know, I'm not the demographic for that show, but I was still into it and rooting for the characters to fall in love.
Yeah, absolutely. And going back to just the music, because here's the thing with me. I have a love-hate relationship when it comes to music-based anime, especially anime that says, oh, we're gonna do rock and roll, and then they go up on the stage, it's like, we're gonna sing rock and roll, yum yum chocolate chip ice cream, love love doki doki doki, that's not rock and roll. This was rock and roll.
Yeah, it was really good music.
Absolutely.
And very unique vocals. Like, they advertised in the show that there were unique vocals, you know, for that's what they needed for their lead singer, and they actually got a voice actress who had unique vocals.
Well, she is very unique, because that is Sayori Hayami, who also played the deaf girl Shoko in A Silent Voice. It shows that she has a lot of range.
Yeah, a lot of talent, diversity, almost like in America, the Dee Bradley Bakers of the world, who are sufficient at just making animal noises.
Yeah.
But the thing is, like, I've known that Sori Hayami was a very talented singer, because in the previous season she was on that show Fuka, which was the which was the sequel to Suzuka, and she was pretty good in there. But I never realized how amazing of like a rock star voice she could have until this series.
Yeah,
like I found myself comparing it to like some. This is the thing. Like I sometimes like compared her voice to something like Amanda Palmer from the Dresden Dolls, but I found myself leaning towards like male singers like Damien Abraham from Fucked Up, Patrick Stickler from Titus Andronicus, because there's this emotional aspect into how she's singing that I've rarely ever heard from like a female singer, especially one from Japan.
Right. She focused on her emotion while singing rather than hitting the right keys, almost.
For me, made it a much better song. Because, right. You know, you don't have to be the best singer in the world. You just have to show you've got the emotion to tell your story.
I agree with you, and I think that's why I like ska music. Because everybody sucks at singing.
Yes. Isn't that true, Boss Stones? Oh my God. Where did you go? I'm sorry, Dickie Barrett.
No, it's okay. He sucks at singing. Okay.
But anyway, here is the opening theme to Anonymous Noise. This is In No Hurry to Shout. This is High School, and man, I wish they had like gorillas. This group, should be going on.
Oh, that's a good idea.
Yeah.
Yeah. つたった一つのたった一人たった一人の私はここ瓦礫の胸息もできない降り出す雨眠るように
served as the opening theme to The Ancient Magus Bride, which answered the question of, well, if Guillermo del Toro was to make an anime.
Ooh. And I really like that description because it's so true. It's like if Guillermo del Toro and Hayao Miyazaki got together.
Oh, yeah.
Guillermo del Toro kind of did make an anime with Pacific Rim.
Well,
that kinda, was his love letter to him. That was a giant robot anime. But
he
this
should
was
make
like,
an anime. He loves anime. He should make an anime.
I know. He should definitely. Well, here's the thing. Remember, wasn't it Madhouse who did the Hellboy animated movies?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
Yes, they did. But that was, you know, Mike Mignola's stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I think Guillermo del Toro still had a hand in bringing them to life.
Yeah. Yeah. So, no, this is an anime that I haven't seen yet. I would like to start it, but kind of daunting when you're 12 episodes behind. And
a new season starting, you have to watch 20 new shows.
Yeah.
Yep.
So
sleep, what is that?
Oh, work, what is that? I would like to watch this, and everybody says it's great, but and you know, Guillermo del Toro as a description can get me on board with anything. But what makes it so great?
Well, for one thing, definitely the visuals. The visuals are incredible. Just the quality of animation, the story-driven characters, you know, it's a quiet anime.
And but I would say even the fantasy elements make it a great show, because this is like one of the first fantasy shows I've seen in a while that wasn't an isekai.
I do like fantasy.
And it's just beautiful. Like, I can't remember the last time. I would still say probably since Spice and Wolf, where like a fantasy show has like taken me and like forced me to sit down every single week to watch an episode.
Yeah, those trading economics, man. Woo.
Yes. I was like, wow, because before this series even came out, there was this 3-episode like series that they did, which was acted as a prequel to The Ancient Magus Bride. That it played in theaters over in Japan. Why people would spend $15 for a 24-minute short, I have no idea. That's Japan for you. But seeing those got me really excited to experience what this show was going to present. And I have not been disappointed since.
Yeah. Well, when I was over in Japan, the manga was everywhere. Like, you went to any bookstore in Okinawa or Tokyo and just lined up. It was just all Ancient Magus Bride. Like, it was just, it was cool. And I was, that was kind of my first peek into it. Like, I knew about it beforehand and I had heard about it beforehand, but this was my first, like, oh man, like, maybe I should check this out, you know?
Yeah. And you definitely should. Plus, the manga is, I think, coming out here in America. It might actually already be out. And I'm curious to see how well, like, the art translated from manga to the anime version.
Yeah.
People should definitely be checking out The Ancient Magus Bride. Wonderful show filled with magic and mystery and some very, very well-made characters as well. Speaking of some surprising characters, let's talk about a show that I initially had avoided, but I think one of you, like, told me you need to check this out, and that was Saga of Tanya the Evil.
Yes, and keeping on the theme of also shows I haven't seen.
Yeah, I suggested Tanya the Evil to you just out of the sheer fact that it was just so unique. This well, very well rendered and well animated World War I alternate fantasy, you know, war thing where this businessman gets, like, is so hated by God that he gets teleported into the body of a newborn orphan girl and soon becomes an overlord general in this World War I that uses magic to make them fly and shoot weapons. Like, it's so, kinda, so absurd.
It's, but at the same time, it's like the first thing that came to mind was like, this is like Izetta the Last Witch.
Well, yeah, it's actually almost exactly that, except
with it's evil.
Yeah, with psychopaths.
and like another show that we'll definitely be talking about in just a little bit, it made me laugh, but it was like, at the same time, it showed how psychotic that Tanya was some of her facial expressions.
Yeah, those insane small pupiled large smile facial expressions that they give really evil characters.
Mm-hmm. And I do have to say, too, this is a show I highly recommend watching a dub for, because Monica Rial plays Tanya so perfectly in this series. Like, this was the role that she was born to play.
Yeah, just that evil, psychopath little 7-year-old.
And, you know, I would actually say that this is one of those anime where I'd be like, I would love someone to do a live action version of this, because I know it'll piss off people, but then it would just still be so cool to watch if they got it right.
Who in the world would be able to play Tanya, though?
They'd have to do some casting call of some small German girl. It's gonna have to be a nobody. They gotta, like, search for, like, that's the thing with, like, some of these, like, kid roles is, like, sometimes you need to find, like, a nobody who will become a somebody because of this role.
Chloe Mortez is no longer in the age range to play that anymore, and exactly. She would have been the one.
Chloe Mortez was practically a nobody until people saw her as Hit Girl in Kick-Ass.
In Kick-Ass.
This would be, like, the same thing. Like, this little girl that's just killing everything in the name of Germania, because it's not really Germany. And that's what's so cool about this show is it's like, because this person already knows what happens, she uses that to her advantage. It's like, well, that didn't work last time. Here, how about we do this?
That is just absurd.
The ending to the show is performed by the voice actress of Tanya, Yuki Aoi, who also did the voice of Aho Girl. And, like, this is a voice actress that has range. Like, she will not be typecast into, like, the same roles as usual. And, like, I'm even looking at my Madoka poster, and I keep forgetting that she actually played Madoka Kamei in Madoka Magica.
Yeah, it's just, she's so diverse. Just utterly the most diverse, you know, non-typecasted person of at least of 2017.
Absolutely, because she played this, and then she reprised her role as Froppy in My Hero Academia, and then she did Aho Girl, and then she did Show Bitch, and say what you want about Show Bitch, she did play that character very well.
Sure.
So what I love about this song too is it's basically a Rammstein song sung by a 10-year-old girl. And so this is Yuki Aoi with Loss, Loss, Loss.
引き返そうかな。明日はもっと行けかな。きしむ見つけたいトーク、嬉しいを多く、キラリ光るホープ、動く取り留めないトーク、どこまでも続く、さよならさ孤独、動く何回なパズルを解くように、きっと何回も知りたいを知るから、だからワンツースリーで歩き出せ、今日も明日も昨日も変わらない、ならばワンツースリーで歩き出せ、回る世界と逆向きで、
Kubo in Ugoku Ugoku, the opening theme to Girls Last Tour. Now, this was a winter anime, and it was one of the last ones that all of us had watched, or not all, Andrew didn't watch it.
Nope.
That we had watched before the year was out.
And oh boy, was it a way to end 2017?
Absolutely, man. This is a show, like, I remember seeing the visuals for it and not at first being impressed with it, but then watching what the show was about, seeing these two girls traversing through a post-apocalyptic world, being one of the few humans left alive, it was chilling. But at the same time, they were able to fit in some really good humor and some amazing character development between the two, despite the fact it's just them, like, basically shooting the shit with one another.
Yeah, but even though it really is a show about just that, there's this really thin, candy-coated layer of sadness throughout the entire show, and you feel it. Like, you don't see it through the girls themselves, like, because they're just going through their daily lives, but I couldn't help but every time, like, there was one point in every episode where I would just went, oh, because I felt sad, you know? Like, why did that, like, they, like, it'll be like them doing something, and then, you know, one of their hats will fall in the water, and I feel bad for them, and, like, just something so simple like that, you know?
Or they're driving around, and all of a sudden, like, a brick falls on their helmet, and it's like, oh!
Really didn't need that world. Come on. Be nice.
But man, like I don't want to spoil anything, but the final episode of that show just summed up how much sadness there is in that series.
Yeah, there is just this really dark underlying thing, and you want to know what it is all the way up until the end.
Mm-hmm. Thankfully, I don't know if this is going to come back for a second season. I would love to see this come back as a second season, but I'm curious to see where it would go. But fortunately, this show has also had its manga licensed here in America, so you'll be able to read what happens next, even if it doesn't get animated.
Right. Yeah, I don't think it has to. I honestly think it could end, you know, where it is. And this could be a really great standalone show to just think about, you know?
Absolutely. Just not to be, I'm not getting into politics or anything, but it just shows just how horrible the concept of war truly is.
Oh, yeah. From the first episode, you can clearly see the anti-war message that they have in it. Like when they're going through that war plane and they're like, wow, look, it's a war plane. They go inside and they find the rations and they say, there's a sign in Japanese and they say, oh, I can't read this. And then second of all, they find a rations box that they open it up and it's in the current language that they're speaking and they say, oh, it's chocolate. I have no idea what chocolate is, but it tastes really good. You know, like just the fact that they're in this war-torn society that they don't even know what everyday things are anymore.
Absolutely.
They know what tanks are. They know what fighter planes are. They don't know what chocolate is. You know, that's interesting.
Mm-hmm. And then you find out there's all of these other things. So they don't know what a radio is. They don't know what a book is. It's like, how bad were things during this war where they just didn't know what these simple things were?
How long was this war going on? The fact that these girls are old enough to have grown up and joined the military, but they never experienced chocolate. So how long has this war been going on for?
I'm going to say at least 20 years.
Yeah, right?
Well, here's the thing, too, is that you'll notice that when they're taking pictures, you see the date, you see the time and everything, and it says, what, 3071 is when the show is taking place.
Yeah, wow. But even still, if you think about it, though, even in World War One, in the trenches when all the soldiers were there, on Christmas, their loved ones would still send them things like chocolates and stuff like that. You know what I mean?
Yes.
So, like, the fact that they've been out there long enough and the society is still war-torn, there's nobody to send anything like that out anymore so that it's a forgotten relic. You know, just like things like those are the kind of things that I think about when they're talking about doing their laundry, you know, like in the show. It's just, you know, those are the things that run through my head and gives you that deep underlying meaning. So I don't know.
Yeah, so Girls Last Tour really took us by surprise, and we hope that you guys check it out. I know it's only on Anime Strike as we are recording this, but there is a rumor that it may be moving to High Dive, so you might be able to catch it there, which was probably a much better service than Anime Strike. So, let's talk about things that are funny for the sake of being funny instead of funny with sadness. Let's talk about Season 2 of Konosuba, and oh my god, this series just nailed the comedy right from the get-go, one-upping the first season just with like the first 15 minutes.
I don't think that there was a show that we talked about more
on our podcast than Konosuba. Even beyond when the season had ended for season two, I think that we talked about it at least once in every episode. Like, if anybody is a fan of either one of our podcasts, either B3 or Wicked Anime, you know that you should be watching Konosuba. It's almost like our book club.
Yeah, it is. Because there's this dynamic that you don't see in anime much. I always compare Konosuba more to a British sitcom than I do with an anime, because it has that dickish mannerism that most great British sitcoms have, like Fawlty Towers or The Young Ones or The IT Crowd or Blackadder or Father Ted. Like, I see Konosuba standing with those types of shows rather than just anime in general.
Yeah, and on top of that, the way that I describe it to people who want to see it, it's D&D played with a group of people who hate each other. Like, that's what it is.
Not even a group of people that hate, like, that's how D&D is played most of the time.
well, that's true. I mean, but even still, I guess it's D&D in its truest form, but people don't necessarily understand that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so you gotta flavor it up a little bit with, you know, like, oh my gosh.
Well, the way that I say it is D&D, but with the cast of It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia.
There you go. That's pretty good. Everybody always rolls ones.
But who would be the dungeon master? Who would be the dungeon master of D&D? Who would be the dungeon master of Konosuba?
If I had to like think of a celebrity or somebody who would be the person to control it, because it wouldn't be like, oh, you know who it would be? If anybody in the show was going to be the dungeon master of it, it would be Eros, the goddess who keeps bringing
Kazuma back
to life. Yeah.
The thing is, I think Eris is too nice of a person to be putting Kazuma, Aqua, Megumin, and Darkness through all the things. If you were thinking of a celebrity, I picture, like, Eric Idle from Monty Python.
I don't know, like, honestly, I don't know if Eric Idle would ever play Dungeons & Dragons. He's a funny guy and everything like that, but I've never seen him be, like, that kind of nerdy.
Well, you know, with Monty Python and the Holy Grail, which, was Dungeons & Dragons out when Holy Grail came out?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, definitely.
Okay, all right. Like, you can kind of see that sort of D&D but with idiots vibe with Monty Python and the Holy Grail. And with, especially, I don't know if you've ever seen the movie Jabberwocky that some of the cast of Monty Python did.
I've heard of it, but I've never seen it.
It is another kind of Python-esque Dungeons & Dragons, even a little bit of Konosuba as well, like, sprinkled into it. But Konosuba, we'll say it once, we'll say it again, you should absolutely be watching this show. And one of, like, the funniest anime to come out this decade.
Yep, absolutely.
So this end theme, and I love the end themes to Konosuba, because it's not pop, they actually go the folk route, and you rarely ever hear good Japanese folk music.
Yeah, and typically, yeah, I don't like slow ending themes to anime, which is what they usually do, and I typically skip them. But this one, I never skipped.
Really? Yeah. I actually did skip by it.
Yeah,
because I like the opening.
I like the opening too. It's fun. But this one, I never skipped, because it you just wanted to hear all the characters singing their parts, you know.
So, yeah, this is Sora Amamiya, the voice of Aqua, Rie Takahashi, the voice of Megumin, and Ai Kayano, the voice of Darkness, performing the song Ochi ni kara itai, which translates to, I just want to go home.
を開けて未知なるパラダイス体験しよう。
おいでおいでよ、君を待つのは不思議なお菓子、ほっこり日常にちょっぴりスパイス、
くるんくるん
かき混ぜちゃうんだ、
ぐるんぐるん
縦島のセイパー
サービスサービス、
ご褒美タイム、おもてなし心込めて、ウェルカムトゥワイ、しらじと一緒にめくめくわだてじ、
愛情増し増し、ファンのおなでまで精神精一遂げます、イエーイ、君の元気チャージに輝く耐えるかな、こういった感じも愛いた感じも意外と悪くないでしょ、
パンのパンのブレンドスター、
ミリンキュンキュンキュン、
ハートにパンチパンチパンチ、パンのパンのブレンドスター、お口に合いますか、お口に合うといいな、
ボナペティ、
could not escape from this theme at all this fall season. That was Blend A with the song Bon Appetit S, the opening theme to Blend S, which became a huge meme during the fall season. Like, you could not go anywhere without seeing someone try to add an S to this thing.
Yeah, and It was probably one of my favorite memes of the winter season.
It wasn't like... It was just kind of a charming meme, which was fun.
It wasn't intrusive in any way or anything like that. But yeah, I loved it. I love this show.
Me too. I love the different characters. Maka is such a great character that she has this sweetness, and then people just look at her eyes and they think she's evil, and they'll be like, oh, she'd be perfect for this. And her just trying to struggle at first to be this maid who is a sadist is just straight up adorable.
Yeah. Filthy. But yeah, it was just so unique. Nobody has ever focused on the sadistic quality or or resting, like, it's resting bitch face.
Yeah,
like
resting bitch face.
That's what she has, and nobody's ever used that as an element in an anime before, except for Re:Life, which was last year.
Yes, when she tried to smile, it's just, like, the most evil, bitchy smile you can imagine.
But that was only for a short time in the show. This one is a character element that was, you know, played to full effect.
Absolutely, and very entertaining. Like, I have said that this might be the show that Aniplex gets my money for, because I have so far refused to buy one of Aniplex's $200 box sets.
Yeah.
But this show might actually get my money, because I just loved the stories, the characters, the music, just everything about this show. I know there are some people out there who were kind of turned off by it, but all in all, Blend S was just an A-plus, like, comedy for me.
Yeah, I really enjoyed it, and all the different characters were amazing. They were all very unique, if not tropey.
The only character I really didn't like was the manager.
Really?
Yeah.
I thought he was funny.
I thought he was funny, too.
I thought he was creepy. And kind of a pain in the ass.
Yeah. Well, I don't know. I just thought it was funny.
I found it funny because he was such a weeb. Because he's Italian and he's trying to learn about Japanese culture. And he is taking it like how, to be blunt, how I used to be in college, because all I knew was anime. And that's all he technically knows is anime and magical girl stuff.
Yeah. But everybody had their own caliber of nerd in the show, too, which also made it unique, because everybody liked different things. Like, what's her face, the girl who played the tsundere
favorite.
She was my favorite too.
Yeah,
but she loved those cell phone games, and then there was the cook who also loved the cell phone games, but was also a Yuri fanboy. You know. And
then we had the doujinshi creator.
Yeah, just everybody had their own caliber of otaku in them for this show, and diversified them between the different elements of what it means to be a nerd in Japan. Uh-huh. So,
and I kind of liked. I know that there's a cross-dressing boy character who I actually found out is voiced by the same person who plays Nico in Love Live, and
yes.
I loved how that this character was basically a parody of Nico, because he's trying to be that cutesy idol and he just fails miserably.
I love that voice actress's voice, because it is kind of boyish, you know, like, it sounds 100% female with, like, this, like, boyish rasp to it.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, I thought it was funny that it is a male character but being voiced by a female, and it's so confusing.
Yeah.
A woman pretending to be a man pretending to be a woman. Just like that movie Victor Victoria. Great Julie Andrews film, by the way. But Blend S just had a great collection of characters whom I know the manga has been licensed here. I hope that they bring it back in some fashion. Because they kind of hit that at the end. They kind of hit that. They said, we'll be seeing you again soon. So hopefully that means that this could be coming back as a second season.
We'll see.
So we are wrapping things up on this episode of No Borders, No Race, the Wiki's pre-show party mix. And before we play this final song, I figured, Andrew, John Star, where can people find out about Wicked Anime?
Well, if you want to find Wicked Anime, you can find us over at thenerdyshow.com/wickedanime. And you can listen to our podcasts or watch our videos. You can you can go to YouTube and subscribe to our videos, which is youtube.com/wickedanimereviews. We're also on all forms of social media. You can tweet at us at @YoWickedAnime. You can find us over at Tumblr and at wickedanime.tumblr.com. You can find us at, did I say Facebook.com? You can find us at Facebook.com/WickedAnime, where you can chat and find news updates from us, where we're posting all the time. And, of course, if you ever wanted to get in touch with us, you can always email us at WickedAnimeReviews@gmail.com.
Don't forget that you could also tweet us at @YoWickedAnime. You could also... You did say that?
I did say that.
Okay, well, did you say SoundCloud, Tumblr, Audio Boom, or not Tumblr?
No, I didn't.
SoundCloud, iTunes, Audio Boom, Stitcher, Podchasers, and you can leave reviews on all those sites for us.
Yeah, we got so many.
If you can find podcasts, you can find Wicked Anime.
And for our listeners, as always, for the recent news, reviews, podcast episodes, and videos featuring members of the Boston Bash McGee, you can find us at www.beefmecrew.com. If you have any questions, comments, if you are in a band and want to be featured on our show, you can write to us at thebastards@bostonbashbrigade.com. You can find me on Tumblr at b3crew.tumblr.com, on the J-pop, anime, and video games amino pages at KingBabyDuckESH, and on Twitter at KingBabyDuckESH. Like us on Facebook.com/BostonBashBrigade and Facebook.com/LandOfEsh. And don't forget about all of the other sites under the Land of Esh, including The Electric Sisterhood, Phil's Recap and Review, Smashed Rook, and Nerd Crave. And Andrew, John Star, what can people expect from this year's wikis?
Probably our best wikis ever.
I agree. This was like one of the most fun ones that we had. Even though it was just the three of us, it was one of those shows that like, oh, we had these choices, and then all of a sudden, there was a secret choice that just came in and a just overtook everybody.
Yeah, we had a great time recording this episode, especially because it helped that there was such a great and diverse year of anime.
Yeah, I quit anime.
No, you keep on going.
It's all trash.
I say that. I said that at the end of this, at the end of the wikis episode, that I'm really gonna miss 2017's anime. I'm not gonna miss 2017. This anime was good.
Yeah.
I guess so. I'm looking forward to what the new year has to bring, though.
Fully Goalie 2. Well,
there's a lot to look forward to, and I'm actually really happy to see that. The upcoming winter season of anime is not that busy, so I can at least catch up on Boruto, maybe.
Yes, please be sure to check out the 2017 wikis, hopefully airing on Thursday, this coming Thursday? Fingers crossed, maybe? Hopefully, yes. Okay, this coming Thursday, the 2017 wikis, and hey, we actually beat Crunchyroll.
it's gonna be a long episode. Our recording, it was at 2.5 hours long.
Yeah.
And I think that I can maybe cut it down to 2 hours. So it's going to be a long episode. You're going to have a lot of content to enjoy.
So go on a nice road trip while listening to this show.
Yep.
A big, good, long road trip. So for the final song that we're going to be playing,
every opening to Sword Art Online.
So... one show that we really didn't touch on too much. I mean, we talked about it a bit on Wicked Anime. I talked about it on No Borders, No Race. But this was a show that just took everybody by storm. Not just in the human world, but even in the animal kingdom. We are talking, of course, about Kimono Friends.
Yeah. The show that nobody wanted to congratulate it on its animation merits.
Nobody congratulated, but they wanted to say, hey, you actually had a good story.
Yeah. It was such a surprise sleeper hit, the fact that it got so damn popular.
Well, you know, there's that charming aspect to the animation, which is why so many people are so upset that, Kadokawa fired the people who made the show to begin with. And they're like trying to find. You see, for me, here's the thing. It's like telling like the creators of South Park, like after they did their first season, that Comedy Central fired them and replaced them with the people who did The Simpsons. Like, it's not going to be the same. Like, they're going to do a second season, but I have a feeling it's not going to be as charming because it doesn't have that crappy CGI that it had.
I don't know. Yeah, we'll have to see, because maybe it'll be 2D animated, and then...
A 2D animated Kimono Friends would be great.
Yeah?
It could be good. I mean, but the thing is, so many people, like, looked at that team of 10 people who made Kimono Friends as, like, the heart and soul of what made it so charming. So we're going to have to see if whoever takes the reins is able to, or if it's just going to... be boycotted by all the big fans of Kimetal Friends.
Right.
Because that's all that, because that could be a possibility as well, because Kadokawa like really shot themselves in the foot with their firing.
For sure.
For sure. And the thing we should also mention is that this show helped a certain animal find love again during his last few months on this earth of ours. We're talking, of course, about Grape Coon, who fell in love with a cutout of the penguin Hululu.
Honestly, he made a great choice.
He made a great choice. I mean, have you ever even read the story of Grape Coon? Because apparently, like, he's this older penguin. He had a mate, and that mate dumped him. Yep. And he was lonely, and then all of a sudden, the Tubbo Zune did this promotion with Kimetal Friends, and they put the Grape Coon stand right in the penguin cage, and Grape Coon was like, I have learned to love again.
It was fascinating. Like, absolutely fascinating, and it proves every point that we put together in our waifu panel. Yes. Although we can't convince a penguin that it's just for fun.
That is true. You can't convince a penguin it's just for fun. The animals take their romances seriously. Not like us humans.
You can't convince a lot of otakus either.
Yeah.
Yeah. You might have to cut that out.
No, because you talked about this on Wicked Anime with the whole marriage certificate that you can make for your 2D waifu.
Yeah.
And you can get health insurance because of it.
Mm. Yes, you can. Health insurance for marrying a 2D waifu. Yeah. Wicked Anime episode 129.
That is correct. And we are falling behind here in America, apparently.
Yeah. Get with the times, U.S.
Yes. Yes.
2018.
Yes. Get free healthcare by drawing a girl and saying that it's your wife.
I'm taking permission.
Before we go into some meaner territories, let's end the show on a nice happy note with the opening theme to Kimetal Friends, which I like this opening theme. It is so charming. It's cute. It feels like it's the Japanese version of the Zubly Zoo theme song.
The most badass opening of the 1980s.
Which you never knew existed until I brought it up, by the way.
That's because, like, I wasn't born in the 1980s.
I know you weren't born in the 1980s, but I figured because it was on the Learning Channel, back when it was actually a learning channel and not reality TV crap, it aired the reruns of it in the morning. I'm like, maybe there might have been a chance that John Starr and Andrew had heard of the show. But no, Kimetal Friends, if you can look past the animation, it is a good show. I hope people actually do sit down and watch it. And it's a great show for all ages, too. I feel like you can sit a kid down, and if they can read the subtitles, they will be entertained. So this is Dobutsu Biscuit with Kaban and PPP with that charming opening theme song, Yokoso Japari Park. And that concludes our pre-show party mix. So until next time, this is your King Baby Duck, Evan Borgo.
Andrew from Wicked Anime. John Star from Wicked Anime.
Reminding you that you don't have to be from Boston to be a bastard.
But
it sure helps.
Sure helps. Sure helps.
Thanks for making it awkward.
Bye. guys. This is Evan Borgo from the Electric Sisterhood and host of the No Borders, No Race podcast. What you hear each week on our show is but a mere taste of what you can expect from these talented artists from Japan, America, Europe, and the rest of the world. So if you enjoyed something from this week's selections, go to cdjapan.co.jp, amazon.com, iTunes, Bandcamp, the band's official sites, or your local record store to help give these artists your support. We always give our readers and listeners the links to the albums from the respective songs we've spun. So if something resonated with you, give that album name a click and get that record in your possession. Who knows? That one album purchase may help to bring your favorite J-pop artist one step closer to your town. So until next time, keep your volume dimed out and remember to spread the Japanese music revolution wherever your roads take you.